Yo,
But Mike, how you doing?
what's up, bro?
Doing good yourself?
Always good, brother. Ready to roll?
Sure.
Kyle Farnsworth, I appreciate you doing this, my man. How are you?
Well, yourself?
Very good. What's cooler, being in a video game, seeing yourself on your first baseball card, or having your own bobblehead?
Ugh, that's a tough one. That's probably say video game.
Cool in a card, really?
It's tough because as a kid, you always want to pull those cards out of the bubblegum packs, but then also you wanted to play the video game too of your favorite player. So I don't know, that those are two, 1A and 1B.
Where are you calling me from?
Tampa right now, just we're starting a Yankees fantasy camp today. So we just had our opening dinner. So I'm sitting here at the hotel. That's why you had this beautiful backdrop of the hotel room. So,
I was going to say, you're Kyle Farnsworth, the baseball player. I have cooler jerseys signed behind me than you have over there.
So yeah, we're starting today. So it's a week long camp down here at George Steinbrenner Field. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's a ton of fun. What best and worst thing about living in the Sunshine State?
There's no seasons. It's hot as shit, hotter than ever. Dayton hot.
I use my wife's Instagram to get people who I'm dying to have on the show, and obviously you're one of them. I go on, beautiful family, all that stuff, but how many dogs do you have, bro? Oh yeah, all I see is so many dogs. It's like beautiful family, beautiful dogs, 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 dogs. How many dogs do you have down there?
We got four. Sometimes we have get to seven at sometimes by watching my wife's son and nephew's dog. So four, they're all rescues. They're awesome old dogs. So adopt, don't shop. All that good stuff. But yeah, we love them.
Kyle Farnsworth, everyone thinks, obviously now, weightlifting, bodybuilding, looking great. Some people think football. Most people think baseball. But hunting's your passion, right? Because I saw you post some hunting stuff. Like, is hunting your thing?
No, I've always hunted and stuff. My dad, he taught me how to do it back in the day. Probably, my first trip was maybe out to California. I know it was out to California with my uncle.
Okay.
They're out where things are hunting black tail or mule deer, one of the two. And I'm running along with a BB gun. So my passion for, from them, they taught me, and, this is something I've always enjoyed. I'm the only one in the family of two other brothers and three sisters that, hunts. They'll eat the deer meat, but I'm the only one that does it now. But, it's something I enjoy. It's my time to relax, recharge, and just, being with nature. It's not the point of being able to harvest an animal. It's just being out there and seeing them, and, just the most part, just enjoying nature. That's what I enjoy about it.
Have you done it recently? You do it a lot, or not as much as you obviously want to?
Not as much as I do, but mainly for, deer. It's only in, certain times of the year, winter time. I do some turkey hunting every now and then, but for the most part, I enjoy the outdoors when I try to get out there and do it as much as
I love when your physique went viral a couple of years ago.
I can.
Obviously, you're a unit. Obviously, we're going to talk about it. I'm obsessed with healthy eating and food wise. What does your diet look like? Is it crazy meal prep, same stuff every day? What are you eating?
Pretty much the same stuff every day. It is annoying. So I actually have my phone sitting on top of my cooler with all my food in it, which is all basically just chicken and rice, and I got a couple of gallons of water and some protein pancakes for now. So, but yeah, I mean, it's, I do it to myself, so I'm not going to complain about it. I enjoy doing it. And, in the morning it's probably about 2 cups of egg whites, a
Okay.
bacon, some oatmeal. Meal two is probably just 7 ounces of chicken or lean ground beef, 250 grams of carbs. I do that for probably about three or four meals. So, and then in my last meal, sometimes I'll do eggs again or just a protein shake. So yeah, I mean, it's, I probably taken in, a lot, but, like I said, it's all boring stuff. But it's what I enjoy doing, and then it helps me get to, the goals that I have set for myself.
It's going to sound very childish to say this, but do you have any cheat days? Like today, I'm going to go
Oh yeah.
absolutely crazy. And what does your cheat day look like? Or do you just go savage or no?
If I do a cheat day, it'd probably be like pizza.
Okay.
Have a, some nice frozen, I love margaritas, so frozen margaritas and stuff like that. Then probably find like an ice cream shop or a crumble cookie. I don't know if you know what those,
Of course. Yeah.
I've gone those and actually probably ate a whole 4-pack. They're awesome. But yeah, no, I definitely do that. And I work hard all the time at, you know, always active. So my body burns quick anyway. So no, I have cheat days for sure.
Born in Kansas City, grew up in Atlanta. Was it all sports all the time? Just baseball? Obviously, we know you played football. Would you play every sport growing up?
Did mainly baseball, basketball, and football. I just rotated those throughout the year when I was growing up. And I think I finally, when I got to high school, last year football was in the ninth grade, but I played basketball and baseball the rest of the time, and just, you know, really started focusing more, obviously, on baseball. And, you know, my parents helped me direct and guide me in that direction.
It's always like famously said, Kyle Fonzo cut from his high school baseball team, like Jordan, cut. Then you come out and ball out. You get drafted by the Cubs. I love a good draft day story. And obviously now you can see 10 years down the road, 40-round mock draft. Did you have any idea where you were going to go? And tell me how that call happens. Where were you when you get the call?
No, I had no idea. You know, I heard there was maybe a possibility. I think the Cubs were talking to me, Marlins, some other teams I don't really remember, but, you know, I had no idea what the process was. You know, it's definitely not as big and showy right now as it is now. Back in those days, you know, I can't remember if it was on the first day or second. I don't remember, but it was a phone call. I think my dad answered or my mom, and they said, you know, it's the general manager of the Cubs. They want to talk to you. I'm like, what? And I remember it was in my parents' bedroom and I talked to them, and they just said, no, congratulations. We decided to choose you in the 47th round of the 1994, you know, draft, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes. So they drafted me out of high school, which is a draft and follow back then. Mm-hmm. So I had a scholarship to go to Abraham Baldwin Agriculture, was a JUCO. So I went there for a year, then signed with the Cubs before I entered the draft for the next year. So, you know, it was a lot of fun.
That was actually my question. Do you tell the Cubs, hey, give me a year to go JUCO? Like, are they cool with that? I know you said it was draft and follow. They were cool with you going JUCO for a year?
Yeah, you know, they had no control over that because I didn't sign any contract with them. So, but, you know, they were just going to watch me. You know, they had rights to me. But it's like, you know, I'm going to go, it turned out well because I didn't think I was ready for the minor leagues yet. And, you know, I just want to experience and know college as well.
Two trivia questions. One, who went number one in that draft?
Oof, what was that, 94?
Yes.
Wow, got me stumped. I probably shouldn't know. I know Wood was 95.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember 94.
I'm going to be the only podcast not to talk about it, but it was actually Paul Wilson. How ironic is that? I'm going to be the only podcast not to bring it up. Speaking of the minor leagues, you played with Molina, I think Hideo Nomo, obviously Kerry Wood. What stud players else did you play with or play against? Like, you knew, like, this dude is different.
I remember Josh Booty. He was
He was just on recently. He comes on all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we just know he could smash.
Yeah.
You know, great arm. I remember him. Obviously David Ortiz when he was coming up with the Twins.
Oh wow, okay.
Trying to think of who else. There's going to be guys I leave off.
Of course.
You know, I think I remember my first call up to AAA, a guy named D. White. Big old black outfielder. He would just look like a freaking linebacker, and he would mash. I mean, those guys, I was like, wow. And, you know, so many guys out there who were just freak athletes, you know, back then as well.
Where were you in 99? How do you get the call?
99, I think we are in Edmonton, I think. It's AAA, obviously. And so I think either our trainer was trying to call me and we weren't answering our phone. We were in our room. We weren't out. And we were like, ugh, you know, just wouldn't want to answer the phone because it was like early in the morning. And then finally they came and knocked on the door and answered the door. And our head trainer, he's like, hey, you know, you're being called up. You need to get your stuff. You're headed to the airport. I was like, what? I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, get all my stuff together, go to the airport. And I remember calling my parents on the phones and I had a calling card, you know, they get you. So I actually, you know, used the phone from the airplane, sitting in my seat, and I call my parents, hey, mom,
wow. Dad,
didn't get called up. I'm flying down to Miami. That's where the start's going to be, blah, blah, blah. So, all right, hanging up, and then a lot of my family come down to, you know, watch me pitch, you know, because I was starting back then. So, you know, pitch against the Marlins for, you know, April 29th, 1999. And it was a lot of fun.
Let me ask you this. Now, you've been in the minor league system before. You knew players. You go into a locker room with John Lieber, Sammy Sosa, Mark Grace, Benigno Santiago. Are you go around introducing yourself, or you just come in?
No.
Where's Kyle Farnsworth locker? Do you go around saying, like, what's up, I'm Kyle, or they know you?
Nope. I'm eyes down. Just don't say a word and just go straight to my hole.
And you get your win April 29th. Was that your first game you get the win, right?
Yep.
How do you celebrate that win?
I honestly don't remember. You know, I'm with my family, so, but, you know, everything was such a blur. So, I mean, I honestly don't remember. I'm sure we all went out to dinner or something like that.
Any rookie hazing that year you go through?
Yes, I had to dress up, and it was a lot of fun. And I was actually starting that day, and I pitched like total shit, so I was pissed off. And I come in, and it's dress up day, and I had to wear some little blue tutu and green top. So it wasn't a good day, but I can look back and laugh at it now.
It's so crazy, like you coming up as a pitcher, getting cut from high school, doing the whole journey. And then you're facing guys like Larry Walker, Chipper Jones, Gary Sheffield early on. What was the not welcome to the big leagues moment, but you're on the mound like, holy shit, I'm pitching to who? Like, which guy was like, am I really pitching to who?
I don't think there was any like moment like that.
Okay.
I don't – maybe just situations. Maybe like, okay, wow, okay, this is it. You know, kind of like the I belong kind of feeling. But yeah, you know, seeing guys – You know, what's funny, the first guy I faced was Craig Counsell when I came up. And I think I had him, the first batter ever faced, I don't know, I think a 1-2. Anyway, he hit a ball to the warning track. And, you know, Sammy caught it. But I was like, wow, this is the big leagues. The leadoff guy could do that. I was like, I'm in trouble. So I was definitely like, I was like, all right, but I got to keep my composure. You know, I can't think that rattled me. I got to, all right, that's just an out. It's just a long out. You know, facing guys like that, and you know, Andres Galarraga, you know, Mike Piazza, you know, just facing guys, you know, like you said, you know, Sheffield, and you know, there's so many different guys I can throw out there, but yeah, just to be out there in general, just you know, living that dream, and just being very fortunate to be in that situation.
When I knew you were coming on, I did a little research on you because I know you mostly from the Yankee years, and I'm like, wow, you came up '99. To 03 for the playoff run, you were there for a hell of a fun time in Chicago because nothing's like Wrigleyville. How great was it being a younger guy on that team through 99, through the 03, the game 7? How crazy was that ride?
It was a really good hard grind, but you know, I had a lot of fun too. But you know, we had really good teams, and I think what made us, you know, what is a lot of fun. You know, after the games and stuff, everybody would hang out in the clubhouse, and everybody, you know, obviously not everybody, but a lot of people would, you know, we'd still hang out in the clubhouse. You know, that's when you mesh and gel as a team, and players get to know each other, and they really, you know, are passionate about the other person doing good and just being there for them. You know, it's a whole team thing. And, you know, those years, you know, especially 2003,
yeah.
You know, when we go out, you know, there would easily be 10, 15 of us, you know, going as a group, you know, not doing crazy stuff, you know, just going to dinner and stuff, you know, yeah. But I think that really helps with the team and everything like that. And, you know, that those teams were a lot of fun.
Like just building that camaraderie, right? And you have the whole city behind you. It's like, I remember very rarely can you be, maybe the Lions this year in football, or maybe even the Bills, where the whole country was rooting for you. Like everyone wanted to see the Cubs finally do it, right?
Yeah, the lovable losers.
Yeah. After 05, the reason so many Yankee fans always loved you, the Rangers threw more money at you, yet you signed with my Yankees. What was their pitch?
Just with a world-class organization, you know, just and obviously the opportunity to be in the World Series because, you know, as a player, that's what you eventually want. You want to win a World Series. And in my eyes, the Yankees are obviously, you know, their track record and the team players they had and their ability to get players, you know, you know, that's where it would be a great place that in my mind to be able to get that ring.
Because I'm like, I'm one of those elitist Yankee fans. I'm like, you're not coming to the Yankees. You can't take it. It's pinstripes, the mystique, you know. Atlanta guy, Kansas City guy, is it still the mystique of the pinstripes or is not? It's more of a New Yorker thing. Like, because some people say it when they get thrown the money, but you took less money to come here. So the pinstripes really did mean something like that?
Yeah, no, definitely, you know, want to be, you know, I think as a player as well, you always want to be able to play with the best organizations and with the best people. So, you know, I'm just very fortunate, and I was able to play with a lot of great organizations and people throughout my career. You know, I'm not bashing on any other organizations or stuff like that, but, you know, that's what, as players, you want to play with championship teams. You want to get to the playoffs. You want to play meaningful games in October. You know, as a player, that's what you want to be.
Now, when you came up as a rookie through the Cubs, you see Sosa, you see Mark Grace, it's head down. Now your name's heavy. Everyone knows who you are. Front page of the newspaper, Yankees sign Kyle Farnsworth. Boom. Now you walk in the locker room with Jeter, A-Rod, Mariano, Cano. Is it still head down, or are you going around like, hey, guys, I'm Kyle Farnsworth? Yeah, they know who you are.
No, I keep myself. You know, I'm very quiet, reserved. I don't want to be – I'd rather be seen than not heard. You know, that's just my mentality. You know, I rarely talked. You know, people, you know, thought that I was always being an asshole or mean. But that's just my personality. But once you get to know me, I'm just like a big teddy bear. So, but you know, it was, you know, I knew everybody knows everybody there, and you know, you don't have to really do for me. You know, I'm like I said, I'm not that. Hey, I'm so and so. You know, people know, everybody from superstar to the other person. So, you know, but yeah, just to go out there, you know, I just don't want to make a fool of myself and just do the best I could. So, and you know, just to see what happens.
Where'd you live when you played for the Yankees?
The first year was in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Okay.
Fort Lee was another one, and another one up towards Greenwich, but it's a little bit closer. I forget what it was called, but all just kind of, I would say, all even driving distance, especially Fort Lee, if you get stuck on the bridge, it takes an hour.
Brutal.
it was fun.
Where were your hangouts in the city? Where were you hanging out?
I never did anything. I just went to the field, did my job, and you know, I'm not a big city person, big lights and stuff like that. I just did my stuff and just went back home.
Playing with the Yankees, you know this. Every single play is critiqued. You would listen to sports radio. I've had so many former players on, and a lot of Yankees, and they were like, bro, we would once in a while throw on sports radio, and callers would call about like a 3-2 count. Why'd we take it in the fourth inning of a game in May? Ever listen to sports radio, or you were like, dude, these guys are out of control? Bonkers.
No, and I never listen to it because half the stuff that comes out of mouth is this garbage anyway.
It's all garbage. That's all it is.
And it's just going to piss you off. So I don't waste my time listening to that because I can't even watch any of it now because it's
impossible to watch. Yeah,
it's just like comes kind of a yelling match, a show, and just like it's just just crap.
You were such a likable Yankee, and I always feel you got burned. You were there right before they closed the stadium, the year before the title. It feels like you were always a year off with the Yankees, right?
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate, but you know, that's part of it, and nothing you can do about it. As much as it, you know, it sucks, but you know, happy for those guys and the team and everybody there.
You never talk about this part of the athlete. It's always like, yo, trade for this guy. Let's get this guy. Let's sign this guy. As a family guy, how difficult is it with the wife and kids to get traded midseason or every year? Oh, hun, we're going to play Atlanta this year. We're in New York again. We're playing for the Mets. How difficult is that for the family?
It's tough, especially, you know, just for an example. So when I got traded from the Yankees to the Tigers, my whole family was there with me in New York. And, you know, this was kind of my choice. I was like, you know what? I wasn't happy about the trade. You get entitled all 3 days. Or you get 3 days. So, you know, my whole family's there. They just flew up to see me. So I was like, you know what? We're going to take our time. We're going to load the truck up. And we're going to drive down to, I forget where we had to go. But, you know, it's tough. Yeah, people don't see that kind of stuff. And, you know, if I wasn't there, she would have had to, you know, have to deal with all that stuff. It was two little kids and one of their friends. So, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing that people don't see, the stuff. You know, it is a lavish, fun life, but you know, there's things like that you know, people never see or talk about. That is tough.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Like, we say it afterwards, and then after I started doing this and meeting so many players, and they would talk about like, bro, it was brutal getting traded midseason. Like, your family's there, your kids are going to school there, they have friends. Like, nope, Now we're going to another city. That must, it must be so difficult. You know what? You did the right thing by helping out. So many guys just focus on the game that the wife is, she's like the husband and the mother doing it, right, man? Holy shit.
Yep. You know, they definitely do a lot. You know, they allow us to do what we're able to do. So
you seem like such an even keel, calm guy. You don't go out. Wikipedia said you made a lot of money. Wikipedia never lies. The internet's always the truth. Dumbest purchase Kyle Farnsworth ever made.
Dumbest purchase that I've probably made. I don't know. I was really trying to be smart on my purchases. I don't really think I can really think of anything that's, you know, maybe I bought a pontoon boat, you know, just, you know, I thought it'd be cool to have a boat when I really wasn't a water person. So maybe that.
You don't hang up the spikes when your time in the majors over. You go old Kenny Powers down to the Mexican League. And I always tell people, like, oh, I went down to the Mexican League. It's good competition down there. It's beyond passionate. How fun was the Mexican League?
No, it definitely caught me off guard how good those guys are down there, and you know how many MLB guys are down there playing. You know, it's a great competition. The atmosphere is just about every stadium's nuts. You got fans with little things that make noise. It's just like Kenny Powers. You got cheerleaders on the field dancing, mascots running around. I mean, it's a mess, but you know, it's a lot of fun, and you know, they're very passionate about their baseball down there, and you know, it, no, if I could still throw, I'd probably still be down there pitching.
Yeah, I love traveling, so I travel for sports. I literally travel the whole world just for sports. And we went down to Mexico, I don't remember the cities, and watched them play. It was like controlled chaos. There was so much going on everywhere, but every play, they're into the game. They're worried about the cheerleaders, they're hitting on girls, they're drinking, they're partying. But they know every time there's a base hit or a butt, like, I'm like, how are they following all this stuff? And it's wild down there.
Yeah, they're crazy with it, though. It was so much fun.
You leave baseball, and then I remember seeing it somewhere on Twitter, maybe, or someone sent me, like, you played football. How did that even happen? Because you were an older dude playing, and you weren't like Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, where you played in college and stuff. You didn't play since high school, so how does that even happen? And who makes that phone call, hey, it's Kyle, I want to come play football? How does that happen?
Well, football was always my sport. So
okay, who was your guy growing up, though?
Football-wise?
Yeah.
I didn't really have one. I vaguely remember John Riggins, the running back. Is how he would just freaking just plow people over. And I thought that was pretty cool. For me, NFL guy, I always thought, remember the little ice cream, tiny little collector helmets? So me and my brother, we'd all get tons of them. Then we played paper football with 11 on 11 with the helmets. So I always liked cool helmets. So I didn't really have much of a player. So it was just all about the helmets. But so to go back, So that's why football, my ninth grade was my last year, because my dad said, we're going to focus on baseball from now on because it's less injuries and guaranteed money. Okay, so, but I was really good at football. I loved it. And so later on, you know, so in my 20s, you know, I was in the big leagues. I was still pondering. I thought, okay, I want to try to play tight end.
Oh, shit. And,
well, so I tried to, I never told anybody, you know, I came during offseason, I come back up to Atlanta. You know, I trained for a couple of years, but, you know, it didn't pan out. So it's always there. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to look at myself in the mirror and be like, I wish I would have done this, wish I would have done that. So when I got released by the Astros in 2014 was my first did it. You know, I came back home to Orlando, looked up for semi-pro football organizations, Orlando, found Orlando Phantoms, saw that they were having a tryout at something. Said, all right, what's the easiest position to learn? Defensive end. Keep containment, kill the quarterback. All right, simple enough. I think I could do that. So I was like, all right, went out and tried out and made the team. And first year, I led the league in sacks with 11. Was all-star. You know, it was so much fun. I would do it all over again.
And you only did 1 year?
No, I did five.
Oh, my God. Bro, that's beast shit, bro. 5 years?
Yep. And to go back to what my father said about injuries, so in those 5 years, I blew out my right shoulder. That's why I'm not pitching anymore, because I was going down the line. The quarterback was – I was about to hit the quarterback. He saw me cut back. I reached, hit his leg, and it ripped my arm back. So that was going to be my last game. And I was actually going to Mexico the next day to go pitch.
No shit.
So and that was in 2016. So that's what messed up my baseball career. So I blew this shoulder out, then my left knee, and one of the our football practices, I shot backwards, hyperextended. So I tore all four of my ligaments in my left knee. And so I had two major surgeries and 5 years of football, no major surgeries and 20 years of baseball. So my dad was right.
Pop was right. Aren't they always? And then just rubbed it. Wow. That's pretty crazy though, man.
Yeah.
Holy. Now I have to ask you obviously about the way you are now. Were you always knowledgeable about weightlifting and nutrition? Obviously you have to do it, but now like right now that's your life now. So when did that real transition happen? Like, okay, this is a lifestyle. There's a difference between me. I work out every day. I'm not ripped up. Obviously, you made it your lifestyle. Were you always knowledgeable? What was that next thing? Because I guess professional football and baseball wasn't enough, so you want to go show off a little more. So,
No. As a kid, I've always been like infatuated when I saw like the muscle skeleton with they had in science class.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Well, how you know every muscle has this line, and then people, you know, it's obviously the Greek sculptures, and they sculpt what the people look like. How you can sculpt your body, basically. That same way. So when I started, you know, playing baseball, you know, I started lifting in college is my first year when I got introduced to lifting, but you know, through the minor leagues, I started lifting more and getting more knowledgeable, started, you know, for bodybuild, you know, getting ideas from bodybuilders, you know, the Ronnie Coleman era, Jay Cutler and Dex, you know, all that, you know, so I look at nutrition plans, you know, how to get bigger, how to get stronger, what to eat, what not to eat. So, you know, that started back in my minor league days and, you know, throughout, and obviously it's changed now since I started, you know, bodybuilding, you know, 3 years ago. And now I've seen, okay, meals throughout the day, you know, this food works better with me. This one doesn't, I like this one better at this time and this and that. So, you know, I'm always learning and that's what it's about. Just trying to, you know, it's just fun being able to do the, you know, exercise and eat right. And just watch how your body changes just by the things you do. And it's, you know, people say, oh, steroids, this and that. Okay, how many people are on testosterone? Something, you still have to eat, right? You still have to get your sleep. You still have to get your rest. You still have to put your work in. And you can take all the stuff you want. It's not going to do anything for you. So, but yeah, you know, I enjoy it. You know, it's boring. Like I said, egg whites, spinach, chicken, rice. You know, it gets boring after a while. But, you know, I enjoy doing it. And it's, you know, putting in hours at the gym and going home and eating a chocolate cake or eating chicken and rice, you know, chicken and rice.
Obviously, you can't outrun a bad diet. You do you do a lot of cardio still, too?
I actually do not, actually. I barely do any kind of cardio. If I do any cardio, it would probably be only when I'm about two months out from a show. Maybe I'll start doing cardio a month. But, you know, I'm very fortunate that, you know, my metabolism, you know, my body still burns a lot quickly now as it did when I was still younger. You know, I have older brothers. They have the opposite problem. So I got lucky. So, I mean, you know, it's hard for me to still gain weight, which is funny, but I burn it off so quick. But, you know, it's a good problem to have at this age. I'd rather have this issue than the other way around. You eat out if someone blows. Yeah.
I've had a bunch of weightlifters, bodybuilders, all these guys on, guys I work with who are obsessed with the craft, with the skill. And they say the hardest thing is posing in a competition. I'm like, what? And the guy who sits next to me at work, he's an absolute unit. Like it's insane. And he's like, bro, I would get so nervous. And I'd be like, why? Like, why would you possibly be nervous? And he's like, bro, posing is the most difficult thing. Why is that?
Because you're just trying to make sure you flex and contract every muscle that you're trying to show. You have to try to do it without shaking because, you know, then you can get cramps. So, but holding your breath, just tensing every muscle in your body sometimes the judges will make you hold it for 5 seconds and it seems like 10. And then they're like, okay, switch this one. Boom, make you do it again. Do it again. Do it again. It's very taxing. I mean, if you just try it and just do front double, side chest, hold those, you know, everything, rear double, just hold each one for about 10 seconds. Usually what, you know, our posing coaches do, you know, sometimes they'll make them hold it longer just so you can feel yourself contract and hold those muscles and get that feel what your body's doing. and stuff like that. But yeah, it's hard. You can start sweating from it.
To get that last, you know, the last couple of days, you know, you want not even a pinch of fat. Do you water hydrate? How do you like cleanse and dry yourself out for the last day when it has to be like super tight?
I really haven't done much. You know, my coaches are really good.
Wow. Okay.
Last one I did, I used, you know, dandelion root to help me lose water. And I was like, what is this for? And I was like, yeah, to help you just lose water because I don't want to do a diuretic. So they tried the natural way, and that really worked. So, you know, if I try to stay away from, you know, I have some salt and just monitor how much water I'm intaking, you know, just watch it day by day.
You're down there at Yankee Camp now. What does that entail, Yankee Fantasy Camp? I know Kramer punched Mickey Mantle in the face in an episode of Seinfeld down at Fantasy Camp. How is Fantasy Camp? What do you guys do down there? And obviously you must love it because you get idiots like me who just want to talk about the Yankees. I try to branch out, talk other stuff. Now you're just having like these hardcore fans, seen some of your old teammates, old players. So it's a good time down there?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like tonight we had our dinner, opening dinner, and we sat with our teams, and you know, we talked, hung out, and for about 2 hours and everything. And then, you know, games start tomorrow. You know, they get to the field around 8. I think the first game starts at 10. I think they're about an hour and a half games. Then we have lunch. Then we have 2 games a day, then an afternoon game. And then day's over. Then we go back, and everybody just does their own thing, hang out at the hotel, go to dinner, whatnot. And then we do that for 5 days, and they keep record of the games. And at the end, they play a championship game, and whoever wins, they get rings and stuff like that. So,
oh, that's cool shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for them. You know, they enjoy it, and they come down, and you know, it's fun for us too. You know, we love watching them, but you know, main thing for them is we just have to keep telling them, you guys have to go back to work.
Yeah.
So stay safe, do not get hurt, because some of these guys, you know, some of them will take a little bit too serious, and you know, you get people who are, you know, they're not athletes and they pretend to be athletes, and you know, there's a lot of pulled hamstrings, a lot of rolled ankles, a lot of good things like that, a lot of good sniper shots that people call. So, but you know, at the end, you know, everybody has a good time, and it's, you know, it's fun to see the old, you know, old teammates and, you know, guys who, you know, I watched playing with the Yankees but weren't able to get to play with and stuff like that. And you know, just seeing the smiles and how happy these, you know, the fans are who come, you know, to play at the camp, you know, it's a lot of fun.
You still a fan of the game?
Not really, unfortunately. There's just too many things that got changed. You know, and they're trying to make it better, trying to make it faster, but you can't do so much where I think it destroys the integrity of the game. You know, my thing is the game is played by outs. It's not by time. You can speed up the game when it's played by outs. And, you know, I think that's issues for some of the pitchers who, you know, might get injured. You know, I know there are times I've thrown a ball and, you know, I felt my back tweak. You know, now I don't have time to kind of stretch it out without, you know, calling a timeout or something crazy like that. I have to get back on the mound and try to throw a ball again, but my back is still effed up, you know, and I throw a wild pitch or something, or I make it worse, or I change my mechanics or hurt my arm. So I'm not a big, you know, yes, pitchers, some of them do take a long time, but to try to make it so fast, like as soon as a foul ball, okay, you got 10 seconds, you got to throw. Oh, whoa, 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 hold on, that's getting the thinking part of the game out too. Now, which is happening, they're getting told what to pitch, where this and that, instead of having instincts, are gone.
One of the, I don't want to say coolest, one of the biggest revelations since doing this podcast is when I started having on big time players, you know, and before a lot of the interviews, they're like, hey bro, just real quick, don't talk too much about the current team. I don't watch them anymore. So obviously I would never embarrass anybody. And I'm like, I wonder why. And then you see so many players like you, all these old players I've had on, and not just in baseball, a ton of basketball players and football. Like, bro, don't ask me about like the current stuff, cause I don't really watch it much. And I know that's your job too. The same way I don't watch like police shows, you know, I don't watch that stuff cause I do it every day. But like, it always blows my mind. Like those small changes have pushed away so many people from the game. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, like I said, I don't mind some of the changes in the bigger bases. I mean, what's that on? Is this enough is enough? And then the ghost runner on second. We all know it. And there's so many people that don't like it. So hopefully it goes away, but we'll see.
Listen, I've taken up a lot of your time. You ready to finish up with some quick hit questions?
All right.
You and I are at a bar here in New York City. Who's the coolest person in your phone that you can text and they'll text you right back?
The coolest person.
Yeah, you want to impress everyone at the bar. Like, oh shit, Kyle Farnsworth here. You're six margaritas in. You're like, bro, look who I'm going to text. Who are you texting? They're like, oh my God, he's going to text him back.
Yeah. I don't want to name drop.
You can name drop. That's the point of it. Name drop. We got to see someone cool.
Jr.
Who?
Griffey Jr.
That's one of the best ones there is. That's a great answer. Damn, that's a good one. Okay. How about this? One sporting event in history you could have wished you witnessed live. You're sitting front row or in the dugout or in the stands of any sporting event in the history of the world. What game is it?
Maybe NASCAR.
Really?
Just to see that, just the power and the speed and just be able to feel it, just being right there.
That's a good answer. How about this one? Coolest piece of memorabilia that you own?
Oof. Coolest piece I have. Signed Nolan Ryan and Barry Bonds jersey, I guess.
Now, you asked for that after a game? You asked for that?
Yes. And cool stories, too.
Okay.
So, Nolan one was cool. You know, he's in Texas, and, you know, I just asked and talked to him in the office for a little bit about, you know, cattle. You know, he's a big old rancher and stuff like that. And I was into cattle too. I think I had some land in South Georgia with cows. They were talking about that. So, you know, it was pretty cool because I, you know, always try to, you know, have his passion and, you know, watch how he pitched and just being real aggressive and stuff like that. So, you know, he was definitely someone I watched. And Barry was a different story. So, you know, we're in San Francisco. I was with the Yankees. So we're in San Francisco. So usually if you want to get stuff signed by guys, you would just tell the bat boy, you know, they'd run it over or whatever. So I asked the bat boy, I was like, do you mind if I get Barry to sign me a jersey? He's like, okay, but you got to go ask him yourself. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, okay. He's like, they're on the field taking BP right now. I can take you right now. I'm like, oh, great. It's like, okay, I feel like a total dickhead. Sorry, but I know I'm about to go ask Barry. He doesn't know who I am from anybody. To go ask, never met him before in my life, to ask him for an autograph during batting practice, his batting practice. I'm like, great. He's going to be such a jerk. I'm like, this is awful. So we walk up, and the Bible goes, hey, Barry. He turns around. Oh, hey, Farnsy, what's up? Gives me a hug, shakes my hand. Oh, how you doing, buddy? Oh, good to see you. You got out of Chicago. Oh, good to see you. Are you doing good? I was like, hey, I'm doing great, Barry. How you doing?
I was like,
do you mind if I, you know, get a jersey sign? He's like, no, just get it, send it on over, blah, blah, blah. And we talked for like 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, this is weird. So me and the bad boy are walking off, and the bad boy goes, you said you never met him before. It's like, I didn't. That's the first time I've ever met him. He's like, he's never done that before. So yeah, that was just so cool.
Well, so what made him, how do you even know who, obviously who knew who you are, where'd that like buddy thing come from?
Show me so much more respect for him that, you know, I faced him, I'm sure, a couple of times, but for him to be, you know, that was probably in 2006, so, you know, I guess I was in the league for a little bit, but still it was just cool to see, you know, another player of his caliber, you know, being that cool with me, you know, something I always remember.
All right, we'll go this one then. Three more questions. Last time you asked to take a picture with somebody?
Last time I asked somebody? Oof. A while, probably.
Now, I'm not trying to knock you. Are you, not that you're too cool for school, but if you're like, I'm an athlete, I shouldn't be asking. Is that why, or?
No, there's just nobody I would say. Yeah. Yeah, no, there's nothing about being an athlete at all. No.
Last show you binged watched?
Last show we just got done watching was Landman.
Any good?
It's really good. It is. Have you seen the previews or anything for it?
Not even. I never heard of it.
Okay, so it's with Billy Bob Thornton. So he's out in Texas, he's one of the managers of like the big old oil field.
Okay.
And it's, they're fighting with the cartel and this and that. They're just trying to make money. And he has a crazy ex-wife. It's a real good show. I didn't think it would be that good, but it's really good.
I have a long flight coming up, so I'm going to download it. And how about this one? Last one. Who hit the furthest bomb off you that you were like, holy shit, did I really just give up that monster jab?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I think Larry Walker got me one time in Colorado. But when you, as a pitcher, you release the ball, you're right here, and you're like, oh, no, that's not good. So you already know. And then when they hit it, you know where they're gone. You just go like this. Give me another ball. I'm not going to do a look. But, yeah, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I know they're probably him. Someone got me in Tampa. They hit a freaking bomb. I think they hit the ring. I remember I watched that one. I was like, oh, shit.
You seem, like I said, like overly humble. Last trivia question. Do you know your career batting average or how many strikeouts you've had as a pitcher? Do you know either of those answers?
I think my career batting average is .073.
074. Don't you sell yourself short there. Okay.
And eight. No, that's how many games I've. I think 983.
963. That's impressive.
Okay.
We're going to wrap it. I have one last question. I'm sorry to keep you up so long. You're in the locker room, and there's a difference between playing with the Cubs. You know, like I said, Mark Grace, Benito Santiago. Those are baseball studs. Then when you go to the Yankees, you got some Mount Rushmore guys. How long until you get, like, do you go up to Jeter or A-Rod, like, yo, let me get your number? Do you start a group text? How long does that happen?
Maybe a year or two, I guess. And I guess it all depends on how buddy-buddy you guys, those players can get. You know, sometimes you measure guys, mm-hmm. others, or, yeah, you are too nervous or stuff like that. But, yeah, but, you know, I wasn't going to go, you know, obviously, you know, I love A-Rod to death, you know, but I wouldn't go, hey, you got your number? Because, you know, because I just wanted to hang out with him. You know, I love him as a person, you know, player and stuff like that. But, yeah, and then there's guys that, you're teammates with them and they're awesome. And then there's guys, you know, you just mesh with and you get their numbers. And like with Scott Proctor, I still hang out. He's actually here at camp, you know, with, you know, as well. So, but he's this, you know, we've stayed in contact throughout the years, and you know he lives about 3 hours from me. You know, we see each other, you know, pretty often and stuff like that. So, you know, same thing with Johnny as well. So, but yeah, I mean, it's cool. You guys make good friendships, and that's what's good to see him every now and then.
Bro, I really am humbled that you came on my show just to kick it, told some great stories, bro. You're a funny dude. No, really, I've been dying to have you on, man. I made a list of like random players I want to have on. Dude, your story from the baseball to the football to the weightlifting to the family to the dogs, dude. It's been such a blast, man. Thank you so much for doing this, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you, and also thank you for your service, and stay safe out there. Couldn't do it without great people like you. Appreciate it.
Kyle, that's overly nice for you to say. And just DM my wife your address and the size of your shirt. I'll send you down some stuff tomorrow, brother.
All right, appreciate it.
Be safe, brother. Thank you, Kyle.
Take care.
Bye-bye.